when things are always really bad in movies, somebody will say, well, at least it's not raining. And then you like cue the lightning strike and then it starts raining. Like as if they command the rain by saying, at least it's not raining. So things are terrible, things are bad, and now it's raining. So, okay, great. It's like in Lord of the Rings where they're at Helm's Deep and it's like this huge army's in front of them. And it's like, oh man, what are we going to do? We got to face this army. And then it starts raining. Great. Now we got to deal with this too. You know, it's raining. I'm wet. So the passage I want to talk about today is in Mark chapter 4, if you want to open there. It's Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. Rain in the movies, as it is, just has this thing where it's the symbol of things going poorly, things going bad. And in this passage, we're going to look at things are getting worse and worse as this storm is going on. Jesus and his disciples are very tired and weary. And while reading out of the book of Mark, just to give a little tidbit on Mark, my professor for New Testament back at Cedarville likes to talk about the book of Mark as being the Jesus as the action hero book. And he even put up a slide in his PowerPoint of a Jesus action figure, just standing there with like the giant muscles, and you know, it's like this Jesus that is definitely not realistic of Jesus, but that's almost how we see Mark portray him, where he often uses words like immediately and at once, and this happened, it's just bam, 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 it's just right there. And he, even in the beginning of the book, he skips the birth telling of Jesus and a lot of the early life of Jesus things. And he goes, literally verse 9 of chapter 1, he's talking about Jesus' baptism. And it's just like, all right, Jesus, he's this guy, he's coming, this is his ministry, it was awesome, let's talk about it. And that's just Mark all the way. And he just gives you these great pictures, and it's really exciting to talk about. So starting in Mark 4 at verse 35, we see, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Now, when I was reading that part where it comes to, okay, this crazy storm's happening, all this stuff's going on, and Jesus was sleeping with his head on a cushion, and I was just thinking, you know, that's one of those parts in the Bible where it really portrays Jesus as the man. You know, we always like to look at all these miracles he did, all these prophecies he's fulfilled as the Son of God, and we don't ever recognize sometimes that he was man. He was both 100% man and 100% God. And as being fully human, he got tired. And this is actually the only point in the gospel narrative where it shows Jesus sleeping. And I just thought it was something to point out that, you know, he was a man. He did go and die for us on that cross as a man, experiencing everything that we experience, and that includes being tired. He'd had a busy day out there going and doing his ministry, and he needed a rest. And I think it's just interesting that he was so tired that as this crazy storm is coming up where high waves are breaking into the boat and it's beginning to fill with water, Jesus is still in the back of the boat just sleeping. He's tired and he's resting. The Sea of Galilee, I looked up, is 690 feet below sea level. And so because of where it is, it's subject to very heavy winds and windstorms. So as they're going across, one of these windstorms and one of these rainstorms begins to happen, and it just becomes really difficult. And so it becomes one of those things where they had this really hard day, you know, well, not, maybe not necessarily hard, but this long day where they were doing ministry, they were out with all the people, and then it starts raining. And it just gets this really crazy windstorm, and it's getting really scary for the disciples. As we see, continuing on in verse 38, Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" And I just wanted to tell you, Jesus cares. That no matter what you have going on in your life, Jesus cares. And I think it was interesting that the disciples, you know, phrased it that way, and I'm sure that's why it's written in the passage. It's like, we all have those thoughts sometimes, like, is God thinking about me? Does God care? And I just wanted to really make that stand out today, that Jesus does care. And he is concerned about the things that go on in our lives from day to day. And we all do have busy lives. We have people to tend to, places to go, events to be at. And things can go wrong at a moment's notice. Just like in the movies, the rain can come down and suddenly you're in a storm. One thing I've heard before that's been said is, you're either dealing with some sort of trial in your life at the moment, you're coming out of a trial at the moment, or there is one coming. And so no matter where we are, we're in one of those three stages where maybe you've got something tough going on right now. Maybe you're just getting past that thing, or you have one coming. Maybe things are great right now, but you do have to know that storms of life do come no matter what's happening and what's going on. So something else I liked from this passage was these disciples, you know, a lot of them were fishermen. They're used to being out on the boat. They're used to being out on the sea and fishing. And I'm sure they'd probably encountered storms and rain before. Yet this storm was so bad, they started freaking out. They were terrified. A quote I read regarding feeling safe and feeling secure was from Dr. David Jeremiah, and he said, "Safety is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Jesus." And so when we have those moments where we feel unsafe, where we feel scared and terrified, and we might not know what's coming next, we do want to look at Jesus. Jesus is where we can go for safety. And I thought that was really cool. Just God is in control and has control over all things. I don't know if you've seen the movie, but if you haven't, you should. I'd recommend it. It's called The Truman Show. It came out back a while ago. If you haven't seen it, I do have spoilers ahead, but I'm sorry, it's 17 years old. You should have seen it by now. So, The basic plot of The Truman Show is that Truman was born on TV, on a TV show, and he's grown up being filmed on this show his entire life, and he has no idea. And so he's this real character who's experiencing life while everyone else in his life is an actor. And there's no one in his life that's a real person to relate to besides that what's not scripted. And the creator of this show, whose name was Christoph, and his name in the movie is literally spelled Christ of. And when I was watching it the last time I saw it, that was something that stood out to me where I'm like, okay, I feel like the symbolism's supposed to be kind of obvious there, where he's the Christ of Truman in a sense, where he created his world, he created his show. He's the one that throws the storms into his life. Not anything else, not anything outside. Everything in Truman's life is scripted. And there's part in the movie where they force a divorce on him. And they have his wife divorce him and leave him. And that's something that was scripted and written for him. It's not something that happened in his life. It's something
that was literally thrown his way. And even in the end of the movie where he's figuring things out and he knows what's going on now, he's going across the water and Kristoff literally throws a storm at him. He literally does not care at this point if Truman lives or dies. He's gotten to that point where he's only in it for his TV show ratings, and he's only in it to maybe realizing he has this finale on his hands that he wants to make it go out in a big way, and he's just throwing the storms at Truman. But the difference between Kristoff and Christ is Christ doesn't throw these storms in our way. He doesn't intentionally go and make our lives miserable. Though that's a result of the fall. That's a result of things that you know we can't control. That it's just what God allows it to happen. And Kristoff, in the end, like I mentioned, he doesn't care. But the point I'm trying to make is that Christ does care. And when you have those storms in your life, and when things may be going terribly, Christ does care, and he is concerned about what happens to you and where you go from past the storm. Jesus is always there to watch over and guide us if we are seeking him as a Savior and if we have faith that he can do so. And that leads us to the end of the passage, talking about Jesus as our God. So picking up in verse 39, it says, "When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Silence, be still.' Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, 'Why are you afraid? Do you have no faith?' The disciples were absolutely terrified. 'Who is this man?' they asked each other. 'Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" So I want you to kind of picture the scene in your head. One thing I mention a lot with the students at youth group is we need to recognize the stories in here are not just stories. They are real. This is a real event that happened, and they're not just characters that we write in and we say, oh, this is just for the plot. This is real, and these are real people who experience real emotions. And so if you're picturing the scene, it's this crazy storm going all around. The disciples are in their boat. There were other boats that were with them, and they're just freaking out. They have no idea what to do. And so you just kind of imagine the franticness and the scurriedness, and you have the disciples over here and Jesus in the back sleeping, and they are kind of just like, what are we going to do? The storm's going on. This is crazy. And then they see Jesus over here sleeping, and then they go, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" And then Jesus, who was sleeping, and as we know, you should let sleeping dogs lie. So if you ever have woken someone up from a nap, maybe it's not the best idea. But then Jesus gets up and he says, "Silence, be still." And then everything gets calm. I just imagine for a second, though, the disciples, as they went to go wake him up, and he just commands the silence. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, for a second, you know what? John suggested to wake you up. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to keep you up from your nap there. That was pretty rough. Because they might have, for a second, felt, oh, I just woke Jesus up, and he just kind of yelled at me to be quiet for a second until everything gets calm. Until this crazy storm and everything that was going on just gets quiet. And they see this amazing thing that happened. And you just think, you know, this is a real thing that happened. And it's just so cool to think about. You know, we see those movies like I talked about where there's the Avengers and they're saving New York City, and that's cool. But stuff like this, that's real, this is amazing. This is awesome. And just seeing, comparing to the beginning of the passage where we look at Jesus was tired and weary from his journey and he's sleeping in the back of the boat, that's that human side of Jesus. That's the thing that happens to all of us, where we get tired, we get weary. And we compare it to the second half of this passage, where now Jesus shows his immense power as God. He commands nature. He has it in his hands. He is in control. In the end, when you see it too, the disciples were just terrified, is the word it uses in my version. They were in awe. They just didn't know how to respond. And this is near the beginning of Mark, but they'd still seen some of Jesus' ministry already. They'd seen him do some healings. They'd seen some of his teaching. And yet, even after seeing some of these things, they are still baffled. They are in complete awe. It's the shift in the passage where, in the beginning and near the middle, where they have this fear of the storm. They have this fear for their lives, that things are not going to end well. Things are going terribly. And then the shift of their fear in the end, which is this reverential fear. It's this fear of God that they have, that they know that who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him. It's just that incredible power that they see, and the difference in the fear that they have that becomes this reverential fear, this awe that they have. And this is where we need to be in our lives when we recognize Jesus. Jesus does have this power to save. He has this power over nature. He has power over everything. And we need to recognize how incredible that is and how that can impact our lives. When things are tough, we need to go to God in prayer. We need to be strong. And even in the times where we're not through the storm, you know, one of those three, you need to continue to pray, continue to build up your strength, continue to put your trust more and more in God each day, so that when the storms do come, you know where to turn to, and you know where to look, and you know who to put that faith in. God does have a plan for everything, and his hand is over everything. No matter what's going on in your life, whether it's a crazy storm or what's going on in our own country, or what's going on in countries overseas with persecution and famine and all these terrible things, God does have a plan, and he does have a plan for redemption as well, and things will get better, and the storm will eventually subside. And in the end, what it really does come down to is trust, and where we're putting our trust in, where we're putting our faith in. A couple months back at school, I had an instance where I was registering for classes for this fall. And as I was registering for classes, it came up that I wasn't allowed to, because I had a certain amount of money that I still owed that I did not know I owed. And it was like over the amount where it's like, well, we can't have you register for classes until you pay this. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'll pay it then. What's the amount? And so I look at the amount, and it was around $1,000. And I'm like, oh, that's not good. That was, because I'm kind of expecting maybe, you know, 100 or so, something in that range. I'm like, I'll just pay this off and it'll be good. But no, it was around $1,000. And I'm like, I've got to register for classes this week, and I don't know how I'm going to pay that right away. So I'm talking with my dad. He's like, yeah, we'll figure something out, and we'll figure out how to get it done. And I was like, I just went to God in prayer. I just was asking him, you know, I need some way to be able to pay this if I'm going to continue my education in the fall, if I want to register for classes and continue on. And it was one of those things where I really just gave it up to God, because I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to pay this. I don't know what to do. And it was 2 days later, I got an email, and the email said that your fee that you were owed has been paid for, and it's been covered. My first reaction was sort of like, did my dad pay it or something like that? But it turns out someone had just paid for it that I did not know, and it was just covered for me. That's out of the blue. Someone just did it. And it was just one of those moments where I recognized that I had given it up to God, and I'd put my trust in Him, and He had provided. He had been there in the storm. And it's just where you put your trust, and it's just so cool to see. And I'm sure many of you have had moments like that where God has been there for you in the storm, and you just put your trust in Him. And if you continue to do so, then God will provide, and things will turn out okay. As you can see, there are many things we can put our trust in. You know, we can put our trust in our government. We can put our trust in leaders. We can put our trust in teachers at school. We can put our trust in parents. We can put our trust in kids. You can put your trust in objects and money and anything else. But there's only one thing that you put your trust in that will truly provide and get you through the storm, and that's Jesus Christ, because He's the only one that gets you through. So in the end, when it comes down to it, we just give it up to Him, for only He has the power. He is in control, and He knows what He's doing. So let's pray. Father God, I thank You for this day today. Thank You for all You have done in our lives and all that You're currently doing. I know many people here are more than likely going through some sort of storm in their life at the moment. For those who are not going through storms, there's probably one coming. I pray that when these trials and when these storms may come, and for those where they're happening right now, I pray that we rely on nothing but You to get us through. Thank You for always being there for us, to guide us and to watch over us. Help us to trust in You and You alone as the solid rock where we can stand firmly and trust in You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.